Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 5 of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man.
Yay.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm the good. You know, I'm trying my best, but I'm bad at reading cues for what I'm supposed to. Oh my gosh, it's so early. Okay.
And I'm Daniel. The Dan.
There, okay, yeah, we had to make sure that you were the Dan.
Yeah, just to make sure. Just to double check.
And hi, my name is Ben. I'm the Florida Man, because I live in Florida and other reasons. We're gonna get that intro down. One day.
Someday. Not today, but today.
No, not today. But we're gonna get it, man. For those of you that don't know, we are all stand-up comedians that turned to TikTok when the world shut down and made some friends. And now we have a podcast together because what else do three white men do with their free time other than make a podcast? But we are stand-up comedians first, and therefore we do maybe have some shows. Ryan, you got anything coming up?
Most of it is like college shows or it's online. I actually just got put on hold for Queens in New York, which would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Mostly yeah. Because I played Spider-Man at Disneyland and I'm like, I'm going to Queens, baby. So yeah, that's pretty much what's up. Yeah. Well, Dan, what about you?
Right now I'm just doing open mics at whatever open mic is available because Utah is still coming out of lockdown. So yeah, Ben, what do you have going on?
Mostly I'm just doing open mics with you. And if you want to come see me at an open mic, maybe you can go to OrlandoComedy.com. There's a full list. But I do have some shows coming up, few and far between. April 17th, I'll be in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Notoriety Theater. June 6th, I'll be in Wesley Chapel, Florida at the new Side Splitters. June 16th, I'll be in Daytona Beach, Florida at the Hilton Garden Inn, Daytona Beach, Oceanfront. And then July 23rd, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia at the True by Hilton Atlanta Galleria Ballpark. And then November 12th, the 14th.
Sounds like you're making up shows.
I know. Bro, if Hilton could just name them Hilton, that'd be great.
Dude, it sounds like they just threw a thesaurus at it and we're like, yeah. All of them.
They just start naming.
Fancy words. Galleria Ballpark.
They just start naming all the streets around the Hilton. We're just like, yeah, we're at Magnolia. We're the True by Hilton, Magnolia, Valencia, John Young, Sister City Hotel. And my last one, November 12th to the 14th, I'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at AnimeCon inside the Marriott North Hotel.
Have you decided to cosplay yet? What your cosplay is?
I think I might just cosplay as myself.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm gonna pay somebody to turn one of my sketches into an anime, and then I'm gonna cosplay myself. I'm gonna be Florida.
That was the most effort to do the least work.
Absolutely.
Is what you just did.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's all the shows. If you guys want to see us, come out to one of those things. With that being said, anything interesting happened this week for you, Ryan?
You're like, I don't know why, but like the last 4 days, everything has gone wrong, but in like a kind of a funny way. I mean, it could be anything from like, I couldn't get like the top off of like my like alcohol shaker. I don't bartend.
You just have an alcohol shaker?
Yeah, I actually
just in case
too.
James Bond comes over one day and you're like, I have just a thing.
I'm not stacked.
Look, I had a fabulous drink it made for me by a bartender for like, because I did a drinking stream, and then I was just like, and he was like, do you want like your own drink for that? And I was like, yes. So it's like watermelon and lemon and then like a lot of tequila. It was great. But I couldn't get the top off it. Last night, my Postmates driver stole my food. My internet has just been like iffy. And then I went to Wendy's, and like Wendy's just got the order somehow like the reverse. I don't know how they did that. And so I was just like, you know what? Like, I mean, and this is just the subtle parts of it.
Right. But it's also like when you say those things in that order, you're like, well, if those are the things you got to complain about, then I think you're going pretty good. But like those things add up.
They do. Well, also, okay, so to give even more example, I ordered a chair because my back was hurting, because and I needed essentially a chair for my room. The only box in our apartment, the Amazon locker that didn't work, was that box. Like, I mean, the person who was supposed to be there just went on lunch. So I'm having to wait like an hour for them to come back. Like, I mean, it's literally everything that I touch breaks.
It's
so
one
it's
of those
like,
things where you just have that week, and sure, none of it's too crazy. Maybe like a couple of things were like bad, but then by the end of the week, it's like you step on a crack and you just break down. You're like, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I can't go on any longer.
It's just like so much straw breaking the camel's back at this point. It's just like, okay, this is a lot. I'm just confused. Is there a curse on me? I need to go ask Witch Talk. Because I feel like they'll hook me up.
I saw a Witch Talk video, and I have no idea what it was, but it was this woman, like, stitching a lemon. So maybe you got a lemon stitch. I have no idea what that is.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard maybe about those before. Yeah, dude, you for sure got your lemon stitch.
Do my favorite comment.
Lemon party stitching.
My favorite comment on any video I've ever had is, Ryan, if anyone ever comes for you, you have a full coven of witches that will defend you. And I was like, I feel so defended right now.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Still my favorite comment to this day. Dan, what about you? Anything? Did your world just slowly like get pins put in you? Like a doll?
Yeah, did you get lemon stitched this week, Dan?
Yeah, did you get lemon stitched?
I wouldn't say it was a whole bunch of small things. It was one big thing, one very, very big thing on my back. Oh. It was a big zit on my back, guys. I got a huge zit on my back and I couldn't reach it. And for 3 days, I was like this, trying to get to this zit on my back. I named it Alfred.
You
it
named it what? Impressive.
Alfred.
Alfred. Like Alfred or Alfred?
Alfred.
With an E.
We can call him Alfred. Yeah, we can call him Alfred if you want.
Okay,
yeah.
Because of your accent, both of those words sound exactly the same from you.
Alfred and Alfred.
Yeah,
those were the same words.
I don't know. Have you ever just said two words back to back, Dan? You're like, oh no, yeah, an accent. I hear it now.
Definitely. Yeah. I got rid of Alfred yesterday. Left us.
Did you have a little funeral for him?
Well, I'm going to tell you how I got rid of him.
Oh,
because he can't reach it.
I was eating a bowl of cereal.
As you do.
And I was getting my spoon. And I was like,
Dan, oh, no.
I can use a spoon to
Dan,
scratch
no.
Alfred.
Stop it. Stop
and
it.
And I scratched Alfred off. And that was the end of
I
that.
I shouldn't have eaten before the podcast.
I'm certainly not going to be eating after it.
I washed the spoon.
Dan, I was sitting here assuming you continued to eat your bowl of cereal right after that, Dan. That's what I was thinking in my...
Oily
no, but
bowl
that's still...
Of cereal
stop
in
it.
The
stop.
Moment.
Don't say that word anymore. You're banned from saying oily. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
What about you, Ben? How's your week? Did you have any metaphorical Alfreds?
No. Okay, sort of, but like... If I'd say it's good, you guys are going to get weird about it. But my great-grandfather passed away recently. It's been like a couple weeks now, but they just had the funeral for him a few days ago in Michigan. So they live-streamed it, and I got to watch it. I just want to preface this. I'm not sad. I'm not upset by it by any means. He was 95 when he passed away. So, like, I've had my time, you know. Well, you guys are laughing. What did I say?
You live streamed the funeral.
Yeah,
that's the funniest thing in the world to me.
I just mentioned it like how TikTok is live streamed. Like, yes!
Hey guys, welcome to the funeral for my great grandfather. I wish, dude.
Oh my
gosh. Like,
I just love the fact that like, did he get more views than me? Is my question?
Definitely
like, you know,
not.
Like,
it was just me watching it. Like that was. It was
even sadder.
I know. Well, there were people in there. There were people in the church, but it was like in this church in Michigan. They had just like a camera from 1987, just like up in the corner, looking down, and you couldn't really see the coffin, and you couldn't really see the crowd. It was just like you could see the guy speaking at the podium, and like. The feet of the coffin and like three people in the front row, and that's all you could see in this video. And I was watching it, I'm like, this is the most boring funeral I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my god!
And like, I know
you're
they're
just
not
at home, and you're just at home at, in bed, like.
Yeah, no. I texted my mom, right? Because this is her grandfather, so she went to the funeral, and I texted my mom, and I was like, I have something to say, and you're gonna think it's way more morbid than I do, but whichever one of us goes first, the other person is responsible for not making our funeral as boring as what just happened for my great grandfather.
Oh my god, I love that. Well, also, like, is this the sad future of funerals? It's just like, all right, no one gets up. It's just, it's the morning, opens up my laptop. I'm not wearing pants, and then I get to see Nana get put in the ground. Like, that's not. Oh my gosh.
People think that they did that. People think they did that because it was COVID. They did it just because it was in Michigan. Nobody wanted to go.
As someone who's lived there, it depends on what part of Michigan, but yes, that is definitely a thing.
My mom did text back, though. It took her 24 hours to respond to that text, but she said, no worries, I'll hire clowns. So, in happier news, I do want to tell this quick story about my great-grandfather. This is the best story about my great-grandpa ever. I put it out on TikTok and Twitter, so people have seen it before, but my great-grandfather was a baller. Figuratively, not literally. Like, he bowled perfect games up until his, like, 70s, so he was a bowler, but he wasn't a baller. When he got into, like, his older age, he started to get Alzheimer's, so we all started, like, getting into the habit of, like, asking him, like, hey, do you remember who I am, before starting a conversation with him. But because he was a straight G, he caught on real quick. Like, he was lucid enough when we asked him that for him to be like, I'm going to mess with them. I'm totally going to get him for this. And so one year, my grandpa, his son, walks up and goes, hey, Dad, do you remember who I am? My great-grandfather goes, well, one of my sons, I assume. He's only got one son. And so my grandpa responds by going, how many sons do you have, Dad? And my great grandfather goes, oh, I don't know. I was a mailman for a long time, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And he said this on Christmas in front of a bunch of family, including his second wife, who, by the way, is the sister of his first wife.
Okay, I've got a question there. Was it divorce
only
or
one?
Was it death? how did he end up with the second
one? So the first wife passed away, and the sister was like, I'll comfort you.
That's weirdly biblical. Like,
yeah.
That's like, just like...
Yeah. My great grandfather
is. I don't know
why
that was better than the other one.
Bible times.
man, he was a great great grandfather. Yeah, he died at 950.
He was
Adam
a
or
baller,
Eve.
Dude. He was great.
I want to see that HBO show.
I love that at Christmas. Ah.
In a couple other things, let's see. March 30th. We're recording this on April 3rd. So March 30th, just a few days ago, was my full 1 year anniversary of doing my sketches at the table.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay!
And I live streamed every single episode from March 30th, 2020 until March 30th, 2021 in order on YouTube, and it took 7 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
A lot of people watched with me. Like, I was averaging like 600 people for the entire 7 hours. It was amazing. You guys, my
That's
fans
awesome.
Are awesome. You guys are awesome. And then one last weird thing. I was interviewed for the New York Times a few days ago. And before
you
respond, it was not for my sketches. They're writing an article about Bill Nye the Science Guy. And I had commented something on one of his videos, and this woman saw my comment, saw the blue check mark, and was like, I'm going to interview him for this Bill Nye article in the New York Times.
Yes!
So
yes!
I got interviewed for the New York Times as a fan of Bill Nye.
Yes!
What?
I don't know, bro. There's something in the air this week for me, man. Like, everything that's happened, whether good or bad, has just been a little bit weird.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And wow. I don't know when the article's coming out, but, like, it, bro, it's...
of Bill Nye.
That's amazing.
I'm excited.
Were you guys big fans of Bill Nye growing up?
Yeah.
I didn't actually grow up with Bill Nye. So I only became a fan in my later years, like 5 years.
I went to school with his nephew. That's how I knew Bill Nye.
Oh, yeah. This is the second time you've said that on the podcast.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be a recurring theme.
We talk about Bill Nye so much. And so that's the weird thing is because, like, every time I'd put it out, I'd be like, that's your uncle. That's weird. Like,
I mean, like. Was his nephew a science guy or is it just.
No. No, 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 not at all.
His nephew is Jake. Oh, man. All right, let's hop in to our next segment here. My favorite segment of the podcast. Story time. Dan, let's start with you.
Yeah. So the story I have today is one... it's one worth reliving, guys. It's one... Oh. That deserves to be heard because I just want to put this out there for all the closeted gay kids. It probably happened to you too. All right. When I was younger and I had just started puberty, I was curious, right?
Sure.
But we don't have fast enough internet in Zimbabwe to do anything about any of that stuff. So I decided to go on the internet.
I'm worried about the direction of the story.
I promise it's not gonna. It won't go anywhere weird.
Okay.
It'll get really weird, but not for the same reasons that you think it's going to get.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm kind of along for the ride. Let's hear this.
So I decided very early on that I liked guys, right?
Sure.
And I was like, I wonder what guys look like shirtless.
So yeah, because that you've never been able to see that before, just in
never,
right.
Have
you thought
enough,
about like
never.
Just taking your own shirt off?
A mirror.
I was Mormon.
Right.
We don't take our
shirts. Yeah. Right. You shower. You sleep. Everything with a shirt on. Got it. I forgot about that.
Never nudes from Arrested Development. Got it.
So I typed in shirtless men into Google, and then happy times. Right. It was just like, okay, cool. That's great. Abs are fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as I did this, my sister barged into the room. And so being the cool, calm, collected guy that I was, I unplugged the entire computer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, which one is less suspicious? The guy who slams his laptop when someone walks in, or the guy that unplugs the entire computer?
Anyway, so my sister's like, dude, why are you acting so shady? And I was like, I'm not shady, I'm straight. And
then... like, those are the two options. Bro, if you're not straight, dude, you're shady. Like, you're just, as the kids say, why are you acting so sus right now, Dan?
Why so sus?
Oh, my God. You don't act among us like that. Carry on.
So the sister, my sister being the normal person she was, plugged the computer back in and was like, dude, what were you doing on here? And I was like, nothing. I wasn't doing anything.
Fashion.
Unfortunately, this was the moment where I realized that search history is the thing. So she went into search history.
And she discovered hotshirtlessdudes.com. Well,
it was just shirtless men. It was just shirtless men. That's all it said. So she's like, Daniel, why are you looking at shirtless men? And this is true, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I was trying to think of an excuse, and I was like, what is like the straightest thing that I can say to my sister to make her feel like I am straight?
Workout tips, but please tell me what you said.
I said... that I was concerned about the color of my nipples.
They're just like a little bit purplish, I think. I don't know. Like, I looked in the mirror and I was like, I don't know. Is that a lump? And then I look closer. No, it's just discoloration.
Apparently, my ideal shade of lipstick is a purple brown.
Did you say lipstick? I think it was nipstick. What's going on here? Like, is this...
Oh my God.
and so that's my story time for this week.
No, 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 it's not over. It's not over because I have questions. I have questions. How did she respond? Was she like, oh, let me see? Was she a good sister?
Like, I'll tell you.
No, she definitely, well, this is the thing. First, she asked me if I was, she was just like, okay, besides that, are you gay? And I was like, No. I was looking at the shades of nipples.
Yeah.
I needed to know what nipples shades.
And she's like, couldn't help but notice you didn't type in shades of nipples on Google. You typed in shirtless men. I just couldn't help. I'm sorry. That was just like a really a broad thing that I noticed there.
I feel like she could definitely see through the lie immediately, especially because I unplugged the computer immediately too.
Right.
But it all added up to her being like, okay, well, if that's what you say it is, then I guess you're straight, maybe? And I was like, yeah, I've convinced her.
There's a 0% chance.
Just super heterosexual, but super afraid of my nipple discoloration.
It's a super straight concern, okay? Straight men are concerned about a broad spectrum of things, including nipple color, for sure, is what I read on Twitter.
Oh my god. Yeah, top 10 things when I wake up on there is like, are my areolas the right color? Like,
Ryan, have you ever been like caught looking something up before?
Yeah,
no.
I don't think I have. No, I've been caught playing RuneScape too late at night. I mean, that's what I've been caught doing.
More embarrassing for sure.
Oh, it's way more embarrassing.
But I have a RuneScape account, so
the one time my dad caught me reading at like 3 a.m, I was reading the Hunger Games trilogies at the time. He caught me reading and he was like, do I tell him not to stop reading? This is the first time I've seen him reading. So I was like, go to bed.
Okay. You got one?
I do. Okay. Here's the thing. I got caught at one point. This is a weird get caught moment, but I was like, I got caught at like 5 a.m. like playing. We were trying to do a Nazi Zombies Easter egg on one of the old maps, and it was glitching and things like that. But mm-hmm. I'm literally sitting in my room just in my underwear sweating because my room was so hot, and my mom opens up the door and it's just me just sweating, and I'm talking and like I'm on the mic and I'm just like, and I knew she was going to say something like, go to bed, or like, what are you doing? I was just like, I can't, like, I said something to the effect of, I just turned to her and just went, I'm sweating right now. And then she just,
and that was like, it?
She just like looked at me like I was a horror monster and closed the door.
She's like, yeah, Ryan, I can tell. What? And then she went up to your dad and she went, your son is being weird right now.
It's so strange. It was taking us 4 hours to get that Easter egg, and we did get it, but it was just...
She walked into the thick condensation of your bedroom, like, I'm sweating right now.
She's like, is this Florida? This is gross.
She opened up the Amazon, and it was like, oh. Yeah. So
I didn't get caught, but it was one of those things where they found the search history afterward. And there were, it was... I was up in Tennessee. I was at like a family member's house or whatever, and we didn't really have like computers or anything at home. So I just like I had the internet when I was there, and I had heard about, and I don't know if it exists anymore. You might be able to look it up. It was the game Asteroids, but it was boobs instead of asteroids. Yep.
Oh my god.
And. I think it was called like Boobs in Space is what it was called. So I was probably like 11, 12 years old. I was curious. I was like, all right, boobsinspace.com played Boob Asteroid for probably like an hour, set a high score. It was great. And then I was done. I was like, done with this. Click, 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 close out of it. And then I just went about my day, and then, like, the next day, like, one of the adults had to pull me and, like, the other children that were, like, around all day. They were like, hey, who did this? Like, who went on the computer and just, like, imagine just, like, your oldest, most sternest, like, aunt or, like, uncle standing in front of you and going, which one of you went on my computer and typed in boobs in space?
Oh my gosh.
And of course, all of us were like, what? No, we wouldn't. Who would
and secretly, you'd all been alternating.
Yeah, we'd
like
all just
everyone had played it. Yeah.
We were just like, oh, no, that's a weird. Oh, who would go?
Who is designing boobs in space as a game?
Straight men, Dan.
Honestly, like Dan, like this was a game designed by 16-year-olds for 12-year-olds. You know what I mean? Like that's what this game was. Oh my gosh.
Someone learned like Java just to program.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, no question.
And I'm sure you guys can tell. I'm not like a smart person. I'm like, what is? I'm dumb smart. That's what it was. Somebody asked on TikTok the other day. It was like, tell me you're dumb smart without telling me you're dumb smart. And this is like, that's one example. I'm like an idiot savant that's heavy on the idiot. Like that.
I'm an idiot savant.
I was grounded in third grade for winning a poetry competition.
What?
Yeah, so hear me out, right? Because winning the poetry competition, that's the savant part.
Like, yeah, in the third grade?
This was a school-wide. This was like kindergarten through fifth grade. So I beat out the whole school in this poetry competition, and that is the savant part. The idiot part is the fact that I wrote it about my mother.
Yeah.
And my mom's name is Shelley, and I wrote a poem called Shouting Shelley.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, also known as I've Got Troubles at Home.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's...
But, like...
Oh, my gosh.
At the time, my third grade teacher read it and was like, yeah, this is amazing. At no point was she like, should I call home?
Right, yeah. Is this okay?
I was like the Dr. Seuss of being afraid of my own mother. Like, that was where I was... I wrote this poem called Shouting Shelley, and I won the competition. And because I won it, they had this like awards banquet kind of thing near the end of the year where I had to read the poem in front of the school with all like everyone's parents were there too. It was like an event. And when they told me that, at 8 years old, I was like, I'm going to be sick that day. I can't come in. And my parents were like, why? No, bro, you're not sick. Like, stop. And I was like, I'm going to miss the bus. And they're like, we're driving you. Like, I couldn't get out. I was eight. I had no good excuse to avoid this.
Yeah, yeah. What do you have to do? You know what I mean? Ah, man. Like,
oh, sorry, Mom and Dad. I have a date that day, I think. Maybe. I'm not. Like, yeah. I can't.
Your parents are like, a banquet, we're going.
Yeah, basically. They were like, oh, a chance to be proud of one of our children. Yes, please. We're not going to get many more of these. They didn't know that at the time, but like they weren't going to get many more. So they came and they sat front row because it was like VIP seat. It was like any kid that had to like get a thing was like their parents sat up front. And so I, at 8 years old in third grade, had to stand up on a podium in front of the school, look my mother in the eyes, and read to her a poem called Shouting Shelley.
I'm just picturing you picking up the mic and being like, I'd like to dedicate this to my mother. Shouting Shelley.
Bro, I wish that I was like shaking. I was like, I don't know if I should do this. And like people were like, yeah, you got it. Like, keep going. Yeah. And I'm like halfway through this poem and I look up from the paper and my mom is like beet red from embarrassment. And my dad didn't stop laughing for 4 days. Like, it was the most incredible. He was like falling out of his seat laughing at this. And like, I was up there and I didn't have anything really to compare this to until I was like older. But now I can look back on it and be like, that's exactly how the band at the end of the Titanic felt. I know. Yeah, they were up there going, yeah, we're going down for this, but we're going to keep playing.
But yeah, like, might as well see how it ends.
We're gonna
like, what's
finish
the last chord?
This song for sure. And it gets worse.
No.
Yes. Yes, right. You thought, you'd think.
He started playing boob game on stage.
I pulled out a laptop and I hooked it up to the projector. I typed the boobs in space. I set the high score in front of the whole school.
People are cheering. It's like an NFL game. Like,
they're like, oh, that's why Shelly is shouting.
Right. We get it now.
Yeah, everybody becomes Team Shelly at that point.
I finished the poem. People clapped. They loved it. They were like, this is amazing. Yeah, no, that should have won. Look at the alliteration, the rhyme scheme, everything. It was great. And then my parents had to come up on stage with me to accept the award that I got for winning this poetry competition. I was hiding behind my father. It was me, my dad, and my mom standing up there, not looking like a cohesive family at all. Like, none of my dad was stifling a laugh. My mom was angry, like noticeably angry, and I was hiding. And people were like, should we call someone? Like, this doesn't. And then
this was an obvious cry for help, but carry on. Like,
nobody knew what my parents' names were, so they just thought it was a poem, you know? Right. Until the woman that was giving out the award read on the piece of paper on the podium, up on stage with Ben to accept his award, are his two loving parents, Roger and Shelly. Why did you do this?
Oh my God.
And like the collective, like, it was like an episode of Maury at that point. Like the whole crowd was like, oh no. But it was all in slow motion because like I couldn't be bothered to notice time passing at that moment. The woman from the podium just looks me dead in the eyes and just goes, why?
Oh, she's asking the 8-year-old. Like, why is Shelly yelling so much?
I was like, I don't know.
She throws you under the bus.
I was like, I don't know. I want to go home. How about that? Like, let me go home. And we had to sit there for the rest of the ceremony. Me, my mom, and my dad in the front row of this thing, just standing there. Oh, my dad did not stop giggling the entire time. And then we went home, and this is where the idiot part continues. Because, like, at this point in the story, savant, right? I've won a poetry competition. Savant, 8 years old, public speaking, right? Idiot. Wrote it about my mom. Idiot. Got home, looked at the fridge and went, so it's not going up on the fridge? Is this not fridge material?
Won a competition.
I don't want to tell you this, but award-winning poetry deserves to be on the fridge.
Right. Okay, like that. You saw this picture from like kindergarten. I don't even know what it is anymore, but you're not going to hang up the poem that I won an award for? Is that not? And then, like, to my mom's credit, she did not yell at me for that. She just very calmly told me to go to my room forever. And then my dad, in his eternal wisdom, took that moment to look at my mom and go, I bet you wish you could shout right now.
Oh my God, your dad is the MVP.
They got divorced next week. Like,
really?
No. They didn't get divorced that next week, but they did get divorced. But obviously, but it wasn't.
Did you write a poem about that? I'd love to hear that.
Okay, yeah, so here's the deal. I did.
Wait, for real?
I'm gonna find it.
Whoa.
Oh.
We're gonna get the divorce poem. Yeah.
So I didn't write a poem about the divorce. Shoes. Let me see if I can find. I've tried to tell this story on stage before. It's never been complete because like I was never all that great at comedy until like maybe a year ago or a year and
until
a half.
Until you became
2 years.
A TikToker, then you became incredible.
Yeah.
Then we became actual comics. If you're searching for it, I actually have a story time that lines
it.
Up.
The problem with the story is that I don't have the poem Shouting Shelly anymore because that would have been a perfect way to end the story. But I didn't. So what I did do was I wrote a poem about that moment when, like, I was in the doghouse at the same time as my dad, and I framed it as if I was, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, if he were afraid of his mother.
No.
that's what this poem is. And I wrote it for the stage. I wrote this poem, it says April 20th, 2020, but that's incorrect.
That's when you updated it.
Yeah, that's probably when I updated, I guess. But, oh, the places you'll go, like straight to your room, no dinner for you, not a peep or boo-hoo, just asking yourself, what did you do? I asked you one thing, she said with a snarl, if you wash this one dish, you can go play with Carl. But what's this that I've seen, not a dish that is clean, now go to bed early, you're making me surly. Oh, the places you'll go, like to the doghouse with Bo. There's a knock on the door, and wouldn't you know, your dad has come in. Your numbers, they grow. She sent you here too, you ask with despair. The washer for weeks has needed repair. She asked me, please, just call that one guy. I looked at her, smiled, and just asked her, why? I fixed the washer, or so I thought, but fix it for good, I most definitely did not. Now, the kitchen is flooded. Your mother's cold-blooded, and I'm in the doghouse with Bo. Oh, the places you'll go.
Yeah!
Oh my gosh. I want that to be your ringtone for, like, my phone.
It's just like just me reading that poem.
Oh my gosh, it's like, yes, there we go. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Okay, weird thing, like, as far as, like, banquet, like school things, I actually have... I've got a lit. Oh my gosh. Okay. I also embarrassed my parents horrifically on TV.
Oh.
So when I was younger, I did this class. It was called Cotillion, which is like where you like go to be like fancy.
Sure.
Which is weird because I'm from Missouri. And not only that, but I was raised in a place called St. Clair, Missouri for like the first 5 years of my life, which is, it's less like Missouri, which is like, hello, how you doing? And more like ding, 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 ding. We had a
Missouri
pet steer.
Is not hello, how you doing? It's
St. Louis's. St. Louis, I guess.
Yeah, but Missouri.
Yeah, St. Louis is pretty neutral.
Missouri is kind of like, hey, y'all.
Well, that's the thing. It's Missouri and then it's Missouri. And there are two definitely different states there.
And then there's sometimes it's misery.
Well, it's all that. That's the umbrella. But we had like, at one point they had like, it was like 10 dogs and 23 cats. Because the pets would just show up and they just live on this farm. Like, if your parents ever said that
your parents had 10 dogs and 23 cats.
My grandparents did. Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, that makes way more sense. I don't know why.
But it does, right?
But, like, you said grandparents, and I was like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised there weren't sheep and goats and stuff, but okay.
There were.
Okay.
And a 2-ton steer named Spunky. He was a bull. He had 6 foot. It was a 6 foot like horned Guernsey bull. But he was neutered because he was
Spunky.
Right,
yeah,
he's a good boy.
A little less Spunky when he's
yeah. No kidding. but I am. Here's the thing. So I took a class called Cotillion, and it's where you like get to be fancy. And at the end of it, they were like, you're gonna go down to like a nice hotel in St. Louis. It was actually the Ritz-Carlton in St. Louis.
I want to understand how. The breakdown of the people in this class were they all like farm kids from Missouri like you?
No.
You were the only one.
Because here's the thing. Like, I stopped being a farm kid when my grandpa died when I was 5. So, like, I went back and I lived in the city and it was great.
Oh, you were a city boy. Yes, quite. Okay.
I was a city boy. Well, so it was all like these.
And then he became a city boy.
It was essentially like private school kids that were all in this. And so I was there and it was like, I was probably like 8. And then all of the rest of us are like 8 and we're all learning this stuff. And so then we go downtown, we're being filmed for like the news for like a Good Day St. Louis thing or like Good Morning St. Louis. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, because that makes sense. There's like, Missouri has class. Look at all these children that we've trained.
Yeah, right.
And all the people are standing on the other side of the news camera, just like with spray bottles, like, oh, I'm going to, oh, you better not.
Well, here's where it's going to get bad. So my parents weren't down there for the interview. And apparently, newscaster people, they were not.
Okay.
And so they didn't know this until later. And you'll see what the problem is. So I say weird things all the time. And so they started interviewing me because they're like, this kid says weird stuff. I know.
Oh god, isn't that such a news reporter move? They're like, let's find the weirdest person and put them on the news. And they started polling the audience. They're like, okay, which one of you is going to say the darndest thing right now? And everyone's like, oh no, it's Ryan.
It's Ryan for sure.
Yeah. You got to go.
Yeah, I want to know what you were doing beforehand for them to be like, that's the weird kid. That's the weird one. Well, no, I have to interview that one.
He didn't have pants on.
They just started interviewing me. Normally, they just started interviewing me normally. And then what happened is they go, so do your parents like care about, like, does your, they kind of asked the question of like which parent cares about like you being polite and things like that. And I was like, they go, is it your mom? And I go, nah, not really. Like she doesn't care. And my dad just really wants me to go out for sports. So really none of them care. And I was like,
and your parents at home.
The biggest Hoosiers ever. And then I get back home and then they're recording it to be like, oh, look, he's on TV. This is
look
cute.
How proud
and then
of
they
our
get
son
to that question.
Are.
And my mom's like, you just made us look like we don't care. Because I said, essentially, my mom only cares if I get good grades and my dad just really wants me to do sports. And I do. And pretty
Absolutely.
Much I was just like, and none of them care about
but
this.
But like, at the time, every nuclear family in America was like, yep, that's our dynamic. Yeah. Every single like
relatable.
Yeah, I mean
it was relatable. It was
growing up. Most people were like, my mom wants me to get good grades, and my dad's like, you should be the quarterback of the football team. Screw Blake.
Like we don't love him.
Like when I was playing soccer, my dad didn't understand soccer at all, but he loved sports. My mom would say things like, let's go have fun, win the game. She was competitive too, but she was like, yeah, you're going to be, you know, pass, move, all that stuff. My dad was like, take the ball, run all the way down the field with the ball, score. This is you. This is your time.
This is your moment. Team sport, never heard of it. Like,
he's like, once a game, just try it. Go.
That was my aunts were infamous in Zimbabwe for being very loud at rugby games, but like the kind of loud that was like crazy. Like they'd be like, screw them, get the ball and tackle them, defeat them. Like they were infamously loud for that sort of stuff. And my mom particularly. So I had a very reverse situation.
Oh,
my dad was
fantastic.
Like, Karen.
Oh, I love that dynamic,
like, standing up and was like,
I love that dynamic, my guy. Like that's very much like you heard my story last week about falling down at a track meet and how my dad was just the loudest person there. I imagine that's your aunts. So I
by the way have just one thing that I feel like needs to be part of this story time. It's kind of an updated like the last I am single again, which is a good thing.
Yay.
But I'm on a date. Yeah, you guys know more. But I'm back on dating apps. And guys, I ran into a girl whose name, I kid you not, was Nazi. N-A-Z-I.
No.
Nazi.
What?
And
no.
Here's the thing.
No.
I want to. No, hear
no.
me out. Hear me out.
No.
Because you guys know I'm Jewish.
Right.
And I can just feel
no.
like my ancestors that died in the Holocaust looking down on me like, get revenge for us.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Just like,
no, but like, yes.
But
yes.
But yes, but no. Like,
every part of me wants you to swipe right. Every single part of me.
We already did. I'm waiting on the response at this point.
Did you match?
No, not yet. I haven't checked today.
Oh, no.
Check it.
I hope so, though, just to be like, you know what? This one's for us. You know, we're going to, like, you bruise us, he bruise you. Like, this is.
Oh, no.
Emotionally. I need to make a Hebrews pun, and it came out in the worst way possible. I was like.
Oh, how long have you been sitting on that one, Ryan? How long you just had Hebrews in the back pocket there?
Honestly, I the song that I heard in my head was from the Chicken Little soundtrack, and I regret because I was just like, I needed a Hebrews joke. It was either that or I was gonna make a Jewish pun, but I went with Hebrews, and honestly, the worst version.
You know, we still love you, just a little bit less. Like, that's all.
Oh my gosh.
Throughout the course of this story time, added a new section of this podcast because Ryan is a really big history buff. Okay, so we're adding a section called Ridiculous History with Ryan.
Yeah!
Ryan, I have a quick question. How much of you adding this is because you have a degree in history and you feel like it's useless?
I actually don't have a degree in history.
I thought you did.
Believe it or not. I've got no.
You
I've
have
got
a degree in Civil War history.
I wish. No, I have a bachelor's in business with a concentration in marketing. I've got a bachelor's in international relations with a concentration in counterterror. And I have a master's in business administration with a concentration in homeland security.
So Ben is a liar.
I could have swore. Did you like minor in Civil War history?
I mean, essentially like my international
just
relations
from Missouri,
war, so... counterterror and ethnic conflict. So, yeah. So, I mean, like, if you want to know about, like, genocide, I'm your guy. Like,
no, that's, good. I'm all good, no. My dude. I also really like history, too, so I might add some stories in here. I love history. Yeah. If you guys couldn't tell by the type of content that I put out all the time. But so today's episode of Ridiculous History with Ryan just says Big Bird.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Let's talk about space and NASA. And
yes,
I promise they're going to go together.
Yes, that is a good transition from Big Bird. That was my immediate, like, I read Big Bird, and I was like, I bet this is about the NASA space program.
So in 1986, like, they were trying to figure out a way to get, like, kids more interested in space and kind of show that, like, space was accessible. And so they were talking about putting Big Bird.
I'm sorry, please stop. They wanted to show that space was accessible?
Yeah. Essentially,
in 1986.
Like, It's the lower, it's like the end of the Cold War, so they're kind of being like, we beat the Russians, like, and we can go to space whenever we want.
So lying to children never stops, is what I'm hearing.
No, they were also trying to lie to adults, too. It's super safe.
Fair enough.
It was, but here's the thing. So they were like, can we put Big Bird from Sesame Street in a space shuttle and like have him do science lessons with kids while in space?
Oh, no.
Now, here's the thing. They
Big
ended
Bird
up figuring out.
Big Bird would never
out,
fit.
That's what the problem was, is they were like, Big Bird doesn't fit, so we can't do
I
it.
I hate that
so
that's actually the problem. I was hoping it would be like, no, he had a conflict of interest. He had to be on Sesame Street at 7, but the flight left at 8. Like, yeah, it just wasn't going to.
It's not that, like, we don't want to train a child actor or, like, an actor to go into space. It's like, the costume's
the
just
costume's
too tall.
The costume's too big, yeah.
Well, it was too tall, and also it had too many, like, parts on it that could, like, get in, like, circulation systems and, like, break. So they were like, no, we can't do that. But here's the problem, guys, is this was 1986,
uh-huh.
which means that the one that it was going to go up in,
oh, no.
So instead it's an assignment. Teacher.
Oh no. Oh no,
yeah.
no. It should have been Big Bird.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It should have been Big
Challenger.
Bird.
So it exploded on takeoff, meaning though that in like a very slight alternate reality, there is a version of this. That like Big Bird is killed in the space race. And that's like the darkest but mildly like do you understand that we almost lost a Sesame Street character trying to beat the Russians? That's insane. That's crazy.
We would have gone right back to war with Russia. Physical combative war. If Big Bird blew up in space and we blamed it on the Russians, there would be an entire generation of super soldiers ready to take over Russia, and none of them would be over 4 feet tall. They can't lift a rifle, but boy, can they team up and get your knees. Like, that's just where... Yeah,
they're just gonna hawk you, just, like, circle and drop them, boys. Like,
I mean, you brought this up. It's like a very... It's not even that much of a different alternate reality. But I believe in the infinite universe theory because it makes life way more interesting if you do. And if you guys don't know,
way more fun.
Do you guys know what the infinite universe theory is?
Yes.
Yeah.
So basically, for anyone that's not Ryan or Dan and listening right now, the infinite universe theory is this idea that there is an infinite number of universes out there for an infinite number of possibilities. Like, there's a universe out there that's exactly like the one that we're currently living in, but, you know, the only difference is it's Youth Pastor Dan and Ryan Bam Bam.
Ryan Bam Bam.
Yeah, like, the idea is that there's an infinite number of universes for the infinite number of possibilities. And it does make life more fun to think about this sometimes, but it also makes life kind of boring because I do, like, I'm big into math and stuff, so it, like, because it's infinite, it is statistically impossible for us to be living in the like for us to be living in a universe without superpowers. Because there's technically an infinite number of universes where everyone has superpowers.
So it's like My Hero Academia?
So it's a statistical anomaly for us to be living in a universe without superpowers when you think about it that way. Which means, like, statistically, it's impossible for us to be living in the most boring universe. But, like, here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, I don't think we're the most boring universe, though.
I wouldn't be podcast.
I think we're probably pretty like in between, though, because I could not imagine. Can you imagine? There's got to be a version of us where it's just like none of us have like colored vision, so it's just all gray, and then like we're just gray blobs, like that Timmy Turner episode. What is it? Fairly Odd Parents episode.
Yep, where everyone was the same.
Yes, that's what I'm picturing.
There's also an infinite number of universes out there where we never evolved at all, and it's just like a bunch of microorganisms.
That sounds so less stressful.
Yeah.
No thoughts, feelings, emotions.
Don't have to deal with Postmates people stealing your dinner or anything like that, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Ryan, is that the full history lesson for today?
That is the full history lesson.
In 1986, Big Bird almost went on the Challenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silly crazy question for the day. Where is the strangest place you've quote unquote used the bathroom? Relieved yourself.
I can tell you the best.
Oh, that's a weird thing that you just have in the back of your mind. Best place I've ever used the bathroom.
No, I used to live. So I lived in like a terrible place, but it was I lived in a sunroom in Michigan during the winter when I went to school up there. So that's like it's three walls are just windows.
Right.
And it's like it snows 9 months out of the year, pretty much. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, this isn't fun. But I had a door that led to the outside. And so in the middle of the night, like if I had to pee, I just open the door and I'd just be able to pee out the back. Like it's so satisfying.
Absolutely.
Fully covered. I mean, the best.
Absolutely. I had a sun porch when I was living in Daytona Beach. So three walls were all windows, but it was Daytona Beach, Florida. So it was constant, like 99 degrees in there.
Oh, gosh. Yep. You know, we had reverse pain for that one.
Yeah.
Dan, what about you?
I'm trying to think of like the weirdest place. So like, I don't know. Like, all I can think of is that I was a really hygienic kid. I didn't like. I'm not. I'm the type of person that will hold it in
until you get.
This is a full. Like, this is real. I had to fly from Zimbabwe to America to come visit our dad's family the one time. From South Africa,
please don't
all
finish
the way
the story.
To
I think
Denver,
you're about to finish
Colorado,
the story.
All the way to Denver, Colorado. I held it in,
Dan.
I don't know how,
Dan.
I don't know how I physically got through it,
Dan. That's not healthy.
But I was dizzy.
You're not supposed to.
I'm sure you are.
I know you're not supposed to.
Why didn't you just go on the plane?
I get this. The reason I did it was because I was too embarrassed to go on the plane. And then on the first plane. Then it got to the second plane, and I was like, huh, maybe I should risk it. And I was like, Daniel, you've been holding it in for at least 10 hours.
The competitor in you came out.
Well, it was like what will happen on this plane if I release 10 hours worth of this stuff?
I'll tell you what will happen, Dan. Nothing. Nothing will happen. You'll pee, and then you'll go and sit down, and nobody will say anything about it for the rest of human history.
Yep. But as a 14-year-old kid, I was very, very nervous about it. Well, I was just concerned about like how people would perceive me. And it's like everyone uses the bathroom. How did I not like, I don't know. It was just so weird.
That's such a weird thing because as a kid, for me, like I wasn't even aware people perceived me at all. Like I just didn't exist. I was like, I'm around, but like my goal, and still kind of to this day, my goal as a human being is to just kind of be like around, but in a way where after I leave, people just kind of go like, was he real? Like, did you guys see or hear? Are we all making this up right now?
Like, did the Embodiment of Florida walk through, or did you just, like, what happened?
I don't know. I want, in, like, 10 years after I go visit people, I want, like, several people to just get together and be like, hey, remember like 10 years ago, there was just this child that came up, gave us life advice, and then left, like disappeared. Am I making, did I dream this? Were you there for that? And everyone's like, no, dude, I don't remember that at all. And I'm just like, my existence drives people insane. I would love that. I honestly.
I would love to be visited by 14-year-old Ben giving me life advice. Like randomly, oh, like being like, ooh.
Yeah, I just walk up and be like, actually, Rubik's Cubes can be solved with algorithms, and you can just go on YouTube, look them up, and memorize them. You can solve a Rubik's Cube, or you can just take the stickers off, put them in the right order, and just do that and tell your friends that you can do it. And I would walk away, and you'd be like, where did that information come from? Was
what
that
ethereal
real?
Little boy brought him
and then
in.
I walk through a wall, like I just phase through a wall, and you're like, oh, what?
Infinite realities?
Yeah. So, Ben, wow. What about you? What about the weirdest place you've used the bathroom? Because that was the weirdest place Dan hasn't, I suppose.
Yeah.
This, forest.
This is going to need its own story time, and I'm very well aware of that. But one time, I dropped a deuce in a porta potty in the middle of the Mojave Desert during a war training exercise while being tear gassed. So it's definitely the worst. It's definitely the worst poop I've ever had in my life. But it did happen.
Oh and my gosh.
We're gonna need a story. We don't have time. Yeah. We don't have time for me to tell you about this, but just like that's the setup.
Yes.
Yep.
I got gassed while dropping a deuce in a porta potty in the desert.
Man.
So
man.
I'm gonna save my questions.
You should. Yeah.
I
mean, we'll just
so
open
many.
Up. We'll open up another document right now, and you guys can just start typing the questions. I'm gonna tell the story as slow as possible because I know every single time I say anything, you're gonna have more questions.
And then you're just gonna disappear.
I Do you have a poem about that, though? That's my question.
I don't. No, I don't have a poem about that one. I was really upset
places
about it, though.
You'll go. The places
oh,
you'll
the
go.
Places you'll oh. go, literally.
Yeah.
Dan, it is yes, time yes. for Dan.
LGBTQ.
For the straights.
LGBTQs. For the yep. straights. My LGBTQ for you guys today is one that I'm just curious about. I want
okay.
to get your opinion on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, who is the sexiest man in the world?
Ooh.
You ask us questions that we don't think about, Dan. And
No. I think about it, but on a competitive level. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, because
okay,
I need to know what I'm competing with.
Elaborate that
lose.
Thought that you just let escape.
Ryan's like, who do I have to compete with?
That's really it. Here's the thing. I realize at a certain point, like in a perfect world, like I will at some point have a wife. But like at some point there'll mm-hmm. be if one of these men come up to her, she's gonna choose him. And I
Absolutely.
Understand that. But I need to know who I need to keep like keep my distance from
you
essentially.
You have to keep tabs on these people, is what you're saying.
Like Idris Elba, like Brad
okay.
Pitt.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, who was it? It's Colin, is it Colin Firth? Guys, Colin Firth became a sex symbol like later in life, like just a super nice dude who like became a sex symbol and he doesn't understand it. And then his wife cheated on him. It's like, you cheated on Colin Firth?
Oh,
really?
No.
Yeah.
I hate her.
I know. I think it's Colin Firth. Hold on. Let me make sure. Because otherwise, we're just hating Colin Firth's wife who did not. Yeah. Wife for cheating on him with a childhood friend?
Hers or his?
I
guess it really doesn't matter, but it does matter.
Yeah, hold on. Matter.
It's way worse if it's his childhood friend.
Yeah, so if it's sexy. His, it's game.
Double betrayal.
His wife of 22 years, by
Jesus.
The way.
If it's his childhood friend, he walks in, looks at her, goes, I'm disappointed, looks at him and goes, et tu, Brute, and then just walks out.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is from something called CNA Lifestyle. I don't know, I can't, like, I'm not going to validify like if this is a good website or not, but this is what it
sure.
says. The cause of the split was allegedly an affair from 2015 to 2016 that I cannot pronounce her last name. It's something very Italian. Had with Italian journalist Marco Brancaccia, who was a child. So it was her childhood friend. But get this, in 2018, she claimed that her childhood friend, Brancaccia, the guy she had the affair with, was harassing her. But then the police did the investigation, and it seems like they had already been, like, together. So it's just like, whoa.
That's a crazy
so do you
story.
Think
and the guy Marco told Colin everything. So the dude came clean to being like, dude, I was cheating on your wife. Whoa.
That I get it now. Okay, so what happened? I understand the entire story. I haven't read any of it. I know what happened. Look, the wife had cheated on Colin fair and square. Not fair and square. Like, don't take that out of context. But like, it was just your average run-of-the-mill affair with childhood friend Marco, right? She goes, this is wrong. We can't be doing this anymore. Marco goes, no, I like this. This is going to keep happening. If you don't keep coming back, I'm going to tell him everything. And she was like, oh no. So she kept doing it until she was like, I can't do this anymore. Just tell him. And that's how it happened. So both, it was an affair. She agreed to it. She consented to it. But then after a while, it was no longer a thing.
He
was harassing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's icky.
Yep. I was there the whole time.
That's gross on so many. And you know what's sad? Yeah. The only good person in that story is Colin Firth, and he's the one that got the worst.
Yeah, he got completely wrecked. How are you going to do that to...
Just Colin Firth! He's
Colin
Mr. Darcy.
Firth.
Isn't he Mr. Darcy?
Yeah, I believe he's Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy. He's literally perfect.
I will say, maybe he gets that as karma, because I had to sit through the longest Pride and Prejudice version of my entire life, several different times in my life. So there's part of me that's like, yeah, Colin Firth.
No!
And then there's part of me that watches The King's Speech and Bridget Jones' Diary, so and I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
It's just for Pride and Prejudice that I don't enjoy Colin Firth.
So
that's the only reason I could ever think of hating him.
Oh, I do love Pride and Prejudice, though.
Yes.
Because, like, sexiest man in the world, that's it's a hard bargain. Obviously, there's people like Chris Evans and Liam Hemsworth that are out there that are just, like, they exist. And they're like, yeah, for sure. But me, personally, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Absolutely.
Is this a short guy thing? Is that what I just, like, is that?
No, if it was like, a short guy thing, I would have said young Tom Cruise.
All right.
Well,
okay.
I don't know if you guys know this theory, but it is very common for gay men to date men that look like them. So, Ben, are you saying that like Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Is that a thing?
It's an actual thing. Yeah, a lot of gay guys date dudes that look exactly like them.
That's
interesting.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
I think the term you're looking for is like potentially like, is that like a narcissist thing, like the Greek, like that's what it sounds like.
All the gays are narcissists.
Every single one.
No, I'm saying it.
No, it was like one of those things. I was watching 500 Days of Summer, right? Which Zoe Days of
500 Days in a Summer.
500 Days of Summer. It's a song by the Ataris. Is the Boys of Summer? The Daves of Summer. And I was watching 500 Days of Summer, which, as we know, is Zooey Deschanel and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And I was watching it, and I was like, I would make out with both of these people for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do it. Yeah,
we love it.
Question: How old do you guys think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is
right now?
Because it just shocked me. Yeah, right now.
I'm gonna say 36.
Okay, Dan.
If I had to guess off of how he looks, I would probably say somewhere around like 29 to 34, somewhere around there.
Guys, he's 40.
Good for him.
What?
Right?
Unproblematic people age slower.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. He's just got such a joyous smile.
Look at Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is actually sacrificing children. It's ridiculous. I mean, like, incredible. Paul Rudd hasn't changed in 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. Pharrell?
No stress.
Pharrell. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Dude, the reason why he wrote the song Happy is because he looks like he's 22. That's like, he's just genuinely pleased. That's the way life works out for him.
So, Dan, who do you think is the sexiest man alive?
Yeah. Ooh, that is a hard one. I would say that Idris is definitely up there. Idris is up there. Henry Cavill.
With or without the mustache?
Oh, definitely without the mustache. Okay. I can't do mustache Henry Cavill.
I don't even know why I asked.
Thing. The gays love mustache Henry Cavill. They love him. So that's like a Freddie Mercury thing, I think.
Oh, I can definitely see that. That makes sense. Yeah. Dude, I really hope that the next James Bond, Idris, is tapped for it, because that would be, he'd be so good.
Idris Elba. But those are my LGBTQs for the straights.
All right.
Ben, this is up your alley next.
Moving on, news in a flash. And I want to add something to this segment so that it doesn't go on way too long. I think we should only do 1 minute on each topic.
Okay. Agreed.
So, starting out, 1 minute on the clock. Georgia has passed a new voting law that completely restricts people's ability to vote, which to me is, it's bad for a lot of reasons, but it's good because it's nice to see that children still have an imagination and they can change the rules of the game whenever they feel like it's unfair for them.
Yeah.
I love that. Ben literally started this by going, there's some serious news stuff, but I've already got jokes for it. And I was like, okay, well.
Great. It was one of those things where like I saw it, I read some of the things for it, and I was like, oh, so we get to burn down Georgia next. Yes, let's do it. And I like, but I really wanted to tweet like, hey, so the revolution starts at midnight, but like I was genuinely worried that someone would start a revolution just because bad things are happening and they would blame it on me.
Ben gets all of a sudden arrested for inciting a riot. We've got two people on the podcast that have warrants out for their arrest. Right. That's not good. We can't be two for three.
I would be so mad. I would be so mad that like I got in trouble for inciting a riot and I wasn't even there to do it. Like, if you're going to get me while I'm there. I'm going to be there for it.
Ben Brainerd, a fan of
my
Bill Nye
headphones
the Science
is connected,
Guy.
But we are up on the minute of that.
Dang it,
so.
He missed the joke. No,
I didn't dance.
It has. I'm gonna do regular headphones now. This is too much.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This happens all the time. I'm gonna get my regular headphones.
I mean, they work, man. I don't know why you wouldn't. You know, like they've got a cord. This never loses Bluetooth.
You guys can say whatever you want about me, because I can't hear it.
Oh my gosh, what would we? You know what? There's nothing that I want to say negative about Ben. So like,
we're just too kind. We're so
we are. It's really the good, and Ben. Like, I mean, like, that's really what's going on here.
Hey, Ben, your headphones suck. That's the best I can think.
That's the best I got too.
All right, I can hear you now.
All right. So what's the second one? Florida representative, this feels like.
Okay, one minute on the clock. Here we go. Florida Representative Matt Gaetz under investigation for pedophilia. Oh, man. He is a Florida representative. Why are we investigating? He did it.
Yep. So he is, from what I understand, he is a big QAnon.
Absolutely.
QAnon backer. Remember Pizzagate? It's interesting that he's the one peddling that message, but definitely was doing
his
own thing.
He's the pizza delivery boy. Like,
my word, man.
Matt Gaetz, he is the representative for Florida District Number 1 in the Panhandle, and he looks like he would.
Yep.
Like, so the investigation has come out and has said that, like, Matt Gaetz has, like, shown nude photos of women he slept with to other people in Congress on the floor. And
that's so gross, just as a human being
thing.
It's
super gross. Like, what? And also not surprising at all, because he just looks like it.
He just looks like it. He is the biggest douche I've ever seen.
And
okay,
all right,
can
that's
we change it
minute.
From that sound, because it is literally my wake up sound, and it is I'm having like PTSD.
How about this?
It honestly all sounds bad coming through the mic, to be honest. Like, you just know.
We're gonna we'll fix this in post. No, we won't.
Gotcha. Man, we might not. Montana Senator, this is my favorite because Ben sent this to us in the group chat, and I love this. We have a flood of Mexican meth. 20 years ago in Montana, meth was homemade. Like, that's what we're, like, that's what we
problem.
Need. Like, you know what the problem is? It's not American made, you know? Like that's why we buy
American
Ford.
Meth.
We buy Ford and Cletus's meth. Okay, those are the two things that we do.
Look, guys, I don't know if you're not from the South. You don't understand. Nothing beats grandma's home cooking, okay? The new chant is Make American Meth Again. That's
watch Breaking
Mama.
Bad and was like, we need American meth. Look how good Walter White is at making meth.
This is a weird point where I can hear in the background of my head, the America, heck yeah.
I just want to do that meme where it's like, hey, mom, can we stop and get Mexican meth on the way home? No, we have meth at home. All right, and that is a minute.
Oh, I love this next one too, because this is I've been getting this question so much, which is the Lil Nas X Satan shoes. People are like, oh, youth paths to Ryan, what are you? First off, I'm a stand-up comedian. Second off, this is the greatest marketing play of all time.
Absolutely.
You ticked people off, you got people mad, and now they talk about it. That's the whole thing.
And specifically, you've ticked off conservative Christians.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they will talk about your thing forever to everyone in the most obnoxious ways possible.
Yeah. It's weird because Lil Nas X is kind of bringing back that brand that, like, Marilyn Manson, Lady Gaga, all these people already had done so much previously, and now he's just like, oh yeah, I'll just do it again, but this time more gaily.
Yeah, a little gayer. It is just one of those things where it's like, if you, he knew that, like, because what he ticked off was like the loudest part of like Christian, like, because most Christians are gonna look at this and be like,
who cares?
I mean, I don't think there's devil shoes. You know what I mean? I don't think it's like, it's
just,
oh
we
my
get
gosh.
Down to hell and Satan's wearing the Lil Nas X Satan shoes, and we're like, oh, and he's fashionable. Okay.
Dude, I will say this on our way out of this. My favorite part is that the memes that I've seen, everything the Minecraft is like people in the Nether, and then you just see him like sliding down a pole, and you just hear the song. Like, yep. I love that so much.
That is a myth. Moving on. This one is my favorite from the whole thing. So 1 minute on the clock. An Italian mafia fugitive was caught in the Dominican Republic after police found his YouTube cooking show. Which just, it just goes to show you can take the man out of Italy, but you can't take the Italy out of the man.
I just love so much. That he was like, I'm undercover, I'm hiding, but my gosh, if someone doesn't know how to make perfect linguine, I'm here for him.
That is the most Italian arrest story I've ever heard in my life. He's in the mafia. He fled the country. He was found because he was trying to teach people how to cook.
Why was he trying to be the Hank Green of cooking? What's going on here?
I don't know, Ryan, but I didn't ask these questions. I just laughed. I was like, I want to go find his thing now.
Yeah, he probably like threatens you as he cooks. He's like, and if you don't, I'm going to take you to the alley. I don't know how to do an Italian accent, so don't ask me.
If you don't do the right sauce here, we're going to break your kneecaps, all right?
Why was that Jamaican?
I don't know. Ryan, I get my accents confused a lot. That is a minute. Moving on. Next story.
Yay, I love this one. New York legalizes pot and expunges records. I think it's about time.
Yeah,
that's all I've got to say
it's
about
one
that.
Of those things where if you say you're going to do it enough, eventually people are going to make you do it, right?
Yep.
I think John Mulaney's bit on this is perfect, is just really the idea that, like, pot is that legalization process where just everyone's kind of like, for enough time, we just whined about enough, and now the government's like, fine.
Just do it in the house.
I don't know. I've never done any drugs, so I'm just like, whenever it comes to drugs, I'm like, I don't even know what we're talking about.
I just find it really interesting that New York is one of those states that just, like, always is like, we're the bastion of progressive movement. You know, they have AOC now. And it took them until 2021 to be like, hey, this drug that doesn't do bad things, we should legalize that.
Yeah.
Well, how about, what was it? Wasn't there mayor, isn't it de Blasio that is like under fire right now for essentially like killing old people pretty much?
Cuomo. De Blasio is the old mayor. Cuomo.
Gotcha, yeah.
Right? And that is
that
a minute.
That makes me laugh. It's just like, wow, you
He's
really...
He's also under fire for sexual assault allegations.
Oh, there it also. That always makes me laugh when it's like, I am literally this bastion of good things, and then that happens. It's like, are you now? Are you chief?
Yeah. Moving on, 1 minute on the clock. Fox News has been hit with a $1.6 billion lawsuit from Dominion for election fraud claims. There's a couple really fun things in here that I want to try to get to in this minute. Here's the first thing. This is not the first lawsuit Fox News has gotten, and it's not even their first billion-dollar lawsuit they've gotten over election fraud claims. They've had five, over a billion, for election fraud claims. And from a quote from a Fox spokesperson says... And I like to read it how I imagine he had to read it, which is Fox News Media is proud of our 2020 election coverage, which stands in the highest tradition of election coverage. And we're going to... God dang it, man! And then we also have a quote from the MyPillow guy who was being sued as well, who told NBC he was happy about the suit because he felt he had been censored and it gives him a voice.
Oh my goodness.
I gotta be honest, all of this, like, I don't know if anybody, like, we've all been paying attention to, like, news and things like that. I mean, like, for me, like, I just read BBC because I try to get, like, world news and things like that. But even then, like, when I read BBC about American stuff, sometimes I'm like, did you do any research? Like, they spell things wrong. Yeah. Like, they get, like, states wrong. And I'm just like, it's one of these things where it's like, not to be that guy, but I'm just like, do journalists, like, what do you do at this point? Like, do you just kind of, like, take a dart, throw it against one, and you're like, I'm going to say this. Yeah. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
It's just so funny to be the MyPillow guy. He's happy about the suit because he felt he had been censored and it gives him a voice.
MyPillow guy was shut down. Yeah, I don't know who that is. Who is
the inventor of the MyPillow came out as like this weirdly right-wing conservative dude. Now he has a lawsuit which both makes him feel censored and has a voice.
Dude, so first off, his name's Mike Lindell. Second off, you know what hurts? He's the CEO and founder of MyPillow. Yep. His net worth is $300 million.
Yeah, he's got slapped with a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit.
I like to imagine that he actually is like thinking of it as like, I have a voice now, like a general voice. He's like, I'm glad people are finally listening to me in general. Cause like, who takes a guy who designs pillows seriously?
They all thought I was just the pillow guy. I'm so much more than that.
Guys, this gets crazier. He had a wife, because I was just curious. I was doing like little research on him. He had a wife. They were married from 2013 to 2013 because their marriage only lasted 2 weeks.
Good for her.
Oh
yes,
my gosh.
Yes.
The pillows weren't comfortable enough.
Dude, hold on. I have to put her name in the chat for Ben to say it.
She's way too upset because the pillow talk was literally just pillow talk.
You guys see her name? Do you see the name? That was her name.
Dallas Yoakum.
Oh, wow.
And it's spelled Y-O-C-U-M. Dallas, yo, come.
Like, that's...
yo.
That's a tough one. That's
the
a
pillow
tough
talk
one to
was just... literally just business for him, and she was sick of it.
Right? In 2 weeks.
He laid down at night and was like, do I have a voice?
And she's like, yes, we're getting a divorce. Yeah. Moving on, 1 minute on the clock. The Suez Canal has reopened.
Hey.
Did you guys see that they were drawing like penises? Like the ships that were waiting were just drawing. Like they were like, yeah, we got time. Yeah. Like, yeah. I love that so much. So they
I saw a video of a guy tried describing how he would get the boat unstuck, the Evergreen unstuck from the Suez Canal. And he's like, all right, so you're going to put a winch here on this side, and then you're going to make it go this way, put a little motor over here. You're underestimating the power of these motors. And then you're going to draw a chain down here, other side, opposite direction. You're going to twist the boat like that. Right now, all you're going to do is put two Ford Rangers at the end of these chains and yank it. And people are like, is he serious? And people in the comments were like, you underestimate the power of a Ford Ranger. This is absolutely pull also, a shipping container out.
My favorite part about that is that, like, so you called it the Evergreen, which because it's got Evergreen written huge on the side. It's called the Evergiven. It's the company that's Evergreen. But that makes no sense. Like, it is the dumbest looking ship for, like, name-wise. Because literally in all caps on the side is Evergreen. And then it's like, it's the Evergiven. It's like, how?
We were 3 days into it blocking the Suez Canal. And people were like, the Evergiven is still blocking the Suez Canal. And everyone else is like, yeah, that's Evergiven, dude. Like, it's just going to... Oh, that was a dumb joke. Moving on, that's a minute. 1 minute on the clock. Whose story was this?
Mine. James Charles had to release an apology video yesterday because he started messaging miners again. Jeez, James Charles. At what point are you going to actually get your act together? That's all I'm going to say.
At what point are we going to stop caring about his existence?
Yes, that's another thing. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Well, I've never been like a... I'll say that for a moment, I was a fan of James Charles. And then all the stuff, like weird drama consistently on YouTube just kept happening. And now he's just got
all of
so
this.
Much stuff happening. All of this.
Again, another apology. Man, these YouTubers are just going down. You know what we should do? We should start a podcast where we just make fun of YouTubers. And we should put it on YouTube. I don't know, but like...
There won't be any irony involved whatsoever.
Not at all. No, but we also will never run out of content because this is the second saga of James Charles. This is an ever-going saga on David Dobrik. We already missed out on the Jake Paul train.
Yeah. There's those YouTubers, those twins that just got sued for robbing a bank as a prank on YouTube.
Oh, I love that.
Did you guys hear about that?
No.
There's two twins on YouTube. The Stokes twins. Are officially in a lawsuit right now because as a prank, they decided to rob a bank.
Oh no.
For YouTube content. And they still have their channel. They posted a video 2 days ago.
Why we should be free.
Seriously, YouTube star Stokes twins avoid jail after pleading guilty. That's not how that should work. Like,
that's
yeah,
not
I was
how you avoid
that
prison.
So you're, no.
Yes,
what?
We did it. Can we go home now? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've learned your lesson.
You guys figured it out.
Quick pause on this. Quick pause
160
on this podcast.
Hours of community.
I'm going to run to the bathroom, and then we'll do the audience submissions and wrap it up.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
Pause. Yeah,
they were sentenced to 160 hours of community service and probation. Also, what? Like, that always probation for robbing a bank?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah. Heaven help you. It was for a prank. It was just for YouTube. Stupid, man. I just don't understand, like, the logic behind it, too. It's just, like... Who in their right mind is like, you know what content people need right now? Us
bank
robbing
robbery
the bank.
Content, yeah. Yeah.
Who? Why?
I want to see the video. I wonder if the video is like.
You just see people and you're just like, wow, why? How did you even come up with this? Like, no one stopped you.
Yeah. Oh, they just released a new trailer for Black Widow.
Really?
An hour ago, while we were doing the podcast. Are you a Marvel fan?
I am.
Yeah. I asked Spider-Man.
No, you know what? You know what's funny though? I wasn't actually a big Marvel fan, and to be honest, I wasn't like. There are a lot of people like that work at Disney that kind of get under the illusion like that they are the character, which always makes me laugh. But like, for me, it was just like I don't know. I got to make kids smile. That was fun. Like yeah. I didn't do it because I had some like I wasn't a huge Spider-Man fan before that. Yeah. And honestly, I'm still like I think it's a cool superhero. I think it's fun, but in my mind, superheroes are like it's superheroes. I just want to see a fun movie.
Did you guys keep talking, or can I just cut that whole section out?
We did talk, but not
we
about
did
anything.
Talk, but you should probably cut that section.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. We can
hear. And we're back.
All right, we're going to jump into our last segment here, audience submissions. We got an email for the podcast from Jamie Pickett, who says, question for Ben. I was recently accepted to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and you mentioned in your last podcast that you went there. I was just wondering what you thought of the school and if you think it's actually a good school or overrated. I did respond an email, but I will say with a minute on the clock, it is a great school. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is a top 5 school in the country for undergraduate engineering. It is number 1 in the country for aeronautical engineering. It literally is leading the nation in space engineering. Like 80% of Boeing get their employees from Riddle, and somewhere around like 75-80% of like all of NASA employees also come from Riddle, because Riddle's in Daytona, NASA's in like just down the street basically. So if that's the kind of thing you want to get, Embry-Riddle is great. There are obviously cons. There's pros and cons to every school. Cons, when I went there several years ago, there was a 6-to-1 guy to girl ratio. There's only like 6,000 students there, and over 5,000 of them were male, which is like bad for the obvious reasons, but it's also bad because it makes it really hard to talk to men too, because they're just like prairie dogs the whole time. Like there's like, oh, is that a woman? Is that Nope, no, a false alarm. Okay, going back to this. But it's a great school if that's what you want to do. You might not get the full quote unquote college experience going there, but you are going to get a really good education.
Awesome.
I'm going to do 2 minutes for each of these submissions.
Okay.
And we don't have to take the full 2 minutes, but...
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Dan, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. What is your best advice for starting a podcast? Do it with friends.
Yeah.
I was just going to say do it. The friends help. The friends help, for sure. Like, I'm happy to be that I'm doing it with you guys, but, like, my advice for literally anything is to just start.
I love how you had to say just start so Nike didn't sue us. Thank you for that.
Best advice just for starting podcasts. I think another piece of information I would give is structure it. Don't just put out another one of those podcasts that's like, these are my friends and we're talking about stuff. And yeah, that's sort of what ours is like, but we have a structure to it.
Yeah. Well, we've also, I mean, we've all talked and we've also looked at each other's lives and been like, wow, this has been fully insane. So like, it's more, it's just chaos is what's happening here. Yeah.
I love that word. All right, moving on. Ooh. Ryan, next question.
Your favorite band right now? Mine's AJR. I didn't love most of their new album, but it's growing on me, which came out recently. Yeah, I love AJR.
Okay. I'm really big on a couple guys. Lawrence, found them. look,
it's because you—it's because you love them. It's because you love her, Dan.
I have a crush on the sister. It's a brother-sister duo from New York. It's Clyde and Gracie Lawrence, and I may or may not have a crush on Gracie. And it's fine. I'm fine. We're fine.
I just want to see how many times we can talk about this during the podcast.
It's every single week, and I will not stop saying because I do. It's not. It's like it's okay, I guess. What about you, Dan?
I would say that I don't necessarily have a new band. What I am doing right now is listening to a lot of the XX and Arctic Monkeys old stuff. And it's just great.
Okay.
It's just fantastic.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's my favorite band. Do you know any good or local underground bands, in fact, because of it?
I can't go outside right now. I don't know any local people. Like, I mean, like...
I do. There's a band from Orlando, and I don't know if they're still around, but you can look them up. They have stuff on Spotify. Look up Raspberry Pi Music. They're really good. They're a little funk band. Douglas Horn, Ryan Goodwin, and their robot drummer Clyde. That's what they say on their thing. They're really good. I love them. And then I also have a friend from high school that is doing his own music right now, and he's really good. I just want to make sure that I'm getting... it's Habe. H-A-B-E. If you look up Max Haberman Music, it'll pop up, and he's really good, too.
Nice.
Awesome.
And he's up in New York now. So that was 2 minutes. Moving on.
Ooh, I love this. I love this one. What would be your state's theme song? Man. Ben, do you have one for Florida? Because I got to think real quick for one for Missouri.
Yeah, I got to think
mine's
one.
Maroon 5. Mine's Maroon 5. I am in misery. Like, that's it.
Yeah, that's just it. Got him.
Dan, you can do one for Utah or Zimbabwe.
Ooh, I'd say for Utah, it would probably just be a Mormon hymn. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir just... going off. Zimbabwe, we actually have one, which is really fun. Well, just in general, our national anthem is like one of the coolest national anthems. If you haven't heard it, listen to the Zimbabwe national anthem. It's incredible. I like how Americans like national anthems are like, you know, big build, this sort of stuff. Ours is like a remix in a lot of ways too. Ours is just like, I don't know how to explain it. Trevor Noah has a great set about the South African one, which is even cooler than the Zimbabwean one. But yeah. That's what I would say.
I'm going to be looking that up.
Okay. Florida. Hot in here.
Yeah.
Shorty Fire Burn on the dance floor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think California, it would be Happy Pills by the Weathers. Because it's a take my pills and I'm happy all the time. Like, it's because it's just, oh, it's such a cesspool.
There's a song that I really like that I don't think the song itself is a good representation of the state of Florida, but the name of it is. It's by Ballyhoo, and it's called Alcohol Looks Beautiful Tonight. And that's a pretty good representation of Florida, too.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, moving on. Next question. The worst or best crowd heckle / response? Like, have you gotten a good response to one? I have one that I can do. I was doing a show in Gainesville, and I do jokes about my size. I say I'm 5'5", 125 pounds, whatever, whatever. And there was a woman in the front row, and this is a college crowd. It's in Gainesville. And she yells out, that sucks. In like a mean kind of way. And then I looked
Regina
at her.
George.
Right. And I looked at her and I was like, you know what sucks? I'm getting paid to be here. And nobody's, and you were having to buy your own drinks because nobody wants to buy them for you. And people laughed. They loved it. And then her friend next to her goes, stop, she's new in town. And I had to be like, oh, was she, and I'm going to curse here. I'll bleep it out when I do the podcast and post. But, and I looked at her and I was like, oh, was she also a bitch in the other town? Or did she move to Gainesville, realize she could be anything she wanted, and then decided to go with drunk bitch?
Oh my gosh.
And the girl got up and left to thunderous applause.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the last person that'll ever see live comedy or like that. Like she will never go back to another show.
And I hope she doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because don't heckle people. It's just a pain. Yeah. My best heckle response was actually virtually because like honestly, I don't get heckled a lot in real life just because I look soft. It looks like kicking a puppy. People just don't do that. Like, so I'm, but it was someone commented on one of my videos and it was something to the effect of like Ryan can't prove that he's straight. And I was like, well, and it was a video. It got like 6 million views. It was me just going, well, I could make a video proving that I'm straight, but I don't think it would last very long on TikTok. And besides, TikTok only films in 60 seconds and I only talk fast. And that
I remember that. Yep.
Yep. That one.
Yay!
I felt so vindicated when it got like millions and millions of views. I was like, yeah. Like,
Dan, do you have one?
No, I don't usually get heckled. I'm just
right.
So good.
No worries, Dan. Next question.
How do you confront facts that contradict your beliefs?
Change your beliefs. Like that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's actual facts backing something disproving your belief system, maybe consider not believing it anymore. I don't know. Yeah.
I know this question was probably more directed at me because one, it was asked on my TikTok live, and two, this is the kind of stuff that I deal with in my videos all the time of just like facts versus whatever, whatever. And yeah, you guys are absolutely right. Stop believing the thing that you just believed. And if you made a statement about it, you come out and you say, hey, man, I was wrong. Whoops. Yeah. Moving forward with this knowledge. But there's also steps you can take to verify facts. Like, if you read something and then someone has a contradicting fact and you're just like, well, let me check in. You check into their trust, but verify. Go look into
Absolutely.
Their thing and don't just take one document, for example. Take a bunch. Look at one, be like, okay, but this has a left-leaning bias. Okay, this has a right-leaning bias. It's not that difficult to figure out. Ignore emotional language when you're reading articles, stuff like that.
But you're actually bringing up a really good point that actually like Harvard did a study on, and it's actually interesting. The first time that we read something, no matter what it says, we believe it instantly.
Yep.
And most people are unable to get out of that. So it's very important to realize that like we're normally very trusting, but you can't be. You really got to like dig
trust,
into
but
stuff.
Verify.
Yeah.
Someone brought up, I forget who did this recently, but they were talking to me and they were like, yeah, did you see that article about the Biden administration firing like dozens of employees for past marijuana use? And I was like, I did see that article, and there's a very good reason I'm not talking about it, because that article is crap. Pull it up right now. And then I just destroyed the article. I was like, who's it by? Someone named Sarah? What else has she written? Nothing. Got it. Okay, that's one step. Moving forward. Dozens of employees. Does she have a quote? from any of them? No? Okay. Does she have a list of names? No. Does she say where she got those names from? No. Okay. What does she have quotes by? Anybody that works for the Biden administration? No. Is it just her? Okay. Yeah. Maybe you probably shouldn't believe this article. Then he looked up another article, and it was from a Biden rep going, yeah, five people were fired that all had past marijuana use. None of them were fired for past marijuana use. They were all fired because they weren't good enough for the job. And I was like, huh, a weird concept, being fired from a job because you're not doing it right. And they all probably got together and they're like, well, we said we had marijuana in our past. Yes, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been my fault.
Yeah. Like that.
Oh my goodness.
Moving on, Ryan, next question.
Ooh, if you could live anywhere in the world, where and why?
Spain.
Okay. Why?
I really like soccer. I really like the language. I love Spanish. I don't speak it. I speak it well. What I do know, I speak it well. I love Spanish. And I want to run with the Bulls. I really do. Or run from that. The Bulls, I guess.
You know, you can do all that by visiting, not living there. Like, you know what I mean? Like that.
And?
No. Fair. I honestly don't. I don't know. To be honest, like, I'd love to go, like, live in Japan for like a year, but like not. And I was planning on gonna go in there for a couple weeks this year, but Japan's borders were like, nah. So that's what I'm up to. Dan, what about you?
I think Thailand would probably be like, it's at the top of my list. Besides Africa, I would like to go back there and kind of explore a bit more. I feel like I didn't really get to do more of like actually going to like Kilimanjaro and doing all that.
Right, you just
stuff
lived
too.
There, so it wasn't like
yeah,
it was just close and convenient. So you were like, I'm not gonna do that.
Okay. Moving on. Next one is Ryan. What was your favorite moment working for the mouse?
As my last day as Spider-Man, I brought in three massive pizzas and I went around delivering them to break rooms as Spider-Man, screaming pizza time, just like in Spider-Man 3. And then at the end of that night, I stayed in the suit longer than I should have, like way longer than I should have, uh-huh. Because there was
super
someone
sweaty.
Who sweaty. But yeah, I was there was a guy that did a paper cutout and it's beautiful of like Spider-Man watching the fireworks. And I always thought that was just beautiful. And so I watched the fireworks as Spider-Man.
Aww.
And it was really cool.
Oh, man.
That is a pretty
cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
It was nice.
Next question to you, Dan.
Why do we have noses?
Hank Green, help us.
like firing from the hip thought is like probably to keep us from like ingesting poison or like figuring out if there are like bad gases around. Like that's probably it. You know what
probably
I mean?
Why.
Okay, yep. So I have two. I have a theory, an evolution-based theory, and I have an answer that's wrong. So I think we developed you can figure out which one is probably wrong. We developed noses because we all used to live underwater, and we had to come up with a thing so that we could stick it out of the water to breathe so that we could stay underwater. So noses are invented to breathe like just above the water. Evolution based, right? Okay, so have you ever noticed that when you get really hungry, your sense of smell increases?
No.
Next time you haven't eaten for a while and you start to get hungry, go for a drive near a part of town with a lot of like restaurants. You will smell every restaurant. Your
what?
Sense of smell, or at least mine, and I know a couple other people that do, your sense of smell will get stronger as you get hungrier. And I feel like that was an evolutionary thing when we had to hunt for everything. We would just, as we got hungrier, our noses would pick up and be like, food is that way.
Here's my thing, though. I have almost no sense of smell. I've got
except
like, I'm working at like 3%. So, which is sad though, because especially this time, like during COVID, when it's like, do you have a sense of smell? It's like, no, but not for that reason. Oh my gosh. All the time.
I feel like there's a universe out there where we don't have noses. Though,
absolutely.
So.
Infinite number of them, actually.
Infinite number. Yep. What are you guys' goals for the year?
Survive. And I don't even mean that in like a morbid way. I just mean like, yeah, just it's another year. Let's get through it, man.
Let's get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think like Well, there's the thing. We don't know because of, like, the way that the world is operating right now. Like, what's going to be open? What's going to be happening? What's going to be changing? Honestly, it's just kind of roll with the punches and go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I want to keep growing. But other than that, like, I don't have anything.
Agreed.
Dan?
I'm in the same boat.
Same boat.
In the exact same boat. Yep.
All right. Moving on. What is something that you wish you knew sooner?
That I was gay.
Okay. Yeah, for
right?
sure.
Because when you're in the closet, like...
Oh, for sure.
You don't know you're gay, but everyone else does. And I just wish someone had told me at some point, like, hey, you're gay.
You're gay.
Hey, and Dan, as someone who's been told that, it's not always the case, though. You don't always love that.
You wanted someone to pull you aside and be like, I mean this in a way that's very just the most business way possible. You're so gay.
Yeah, because Dan, I've had that exact experience. People that were looking at it like just as a factual part of my life, Ryan, like you're into men. It's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm pretty sure I'm not into men. Don't believe me. So I don't, you know.
Well, I feel like that, yeah, I probably would have appreciated it more from the people that like knew me, you know, the people that watched me like watch Project Runway and they were like, you can design dresses as a straight man. And I was like, no.
No,
you should have told me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And then last question, Ryan.
How do you prep for comedy? You know what's funny is most of my stuff, like I just like I've got my hour and I roll with kind of whatever I feel like the audience is, because I actually have about an hour 40, and sure. So I just kind of like roll, like I take in, put in, and I do it all on the fly. Just it's that improv background. It's just fun. Yeah.
Short dance.
I used to write out all my sets, though, but yeah, not anymore.
Yeah, I usually write, I write out whatever sets. Usually I try to write a new set every single month. That has not been the case with COVID, obviously. So what I want to do is get back into that habit, but that's usually how I do it, is I try to come up with a set every single month, and then I try to funnel through that. Same thing, though, Ryan, like...
Yeah.
Once you have enough material, it's so easy to just start like going off with the different sets, combining Absolutely. Them, figuring out different combinations. So.
See, I have... for prepping for comedy shows, I'll usually write out my set list, and I'll do it in like groups of like, these jokes all kind of have to do about this, these jokes about that, whatever. But prepping a new joke is different. So when I have an idea for a joke, I'll kind of have that premise. And as I'm thinking about it, I might just have like a couple tags here and there that I want to work in. But I won't really write out the joke until I go to an open mic and just riff on the premise and let that fear make me funny.
Yes.
That's a very real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I write so much like 10 minutes before a show. Like, the punch ups.
And it's always your best. It's always your best punchline.
I write during the show.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
I'll hit a punchline that didn't
always,
hit.
Always like on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I'll just say something. I'll be like, I have to remember that. And then I'll do open mics with no really plan for a couple of times. And then afterward, I'll listen to all those recordings and I'll be like, okay, this one worked consistently. This one worked consistently. And then I write out the joke. And then I do more open mics with that joke until I have the timing and the movements down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all awesome. Right. That is awesome. It. That is all. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of The Good, The Dan, The Florida Man. Ryan, if they want to find you everywhere else, where do they look?
You're the Pastor Ryan on everything except for Instagram. We're still trying to get a hold of that. That Instagram is Ryan Kelly Comedy. But yeah, that's me.
Dan.
I'm Dan Bam Bam on all platforms except for Snapchat, which is Dan _ YOLO love.
And you can find all my social media links on my website at benbrainard.com. It's spelled brain, A-R-D. If you can't figure that out, man, try using yours. If you want to...
Before we end, I just want to say something. You say that every time, and I have a website that has all my links, and I just forget, and every time you go last, I'm like, dang it, I should have said that. Carry on, but youthpastorryan.com. Dang it, it's so much easier.
You can find the podcast at gdfmpodcast.com, and you can contact the podcast at podcast@gdfmpodcast.com. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. We love you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.